I have a topic that I believe the Lord brought before my mind, and it's this message that we're going to be speaking this morning. I look upon it as being a very practical, everyday Christianity message. And it's sometimes I'm going to be talking about things that we don't really hear that much about. We tend to not say much about them. But I want to talk about the consequences of life's choices. Every day, our life is filled with choices. God created us with the ability to choose. We see that very early in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve had the choice between good and evil, and they had that ability to choose. Now, I was thinking of how that choices can be divided perhaps into two main categories. There's what we might refer to as trivial choices. We make them every day without even thinking about it. This morning, I chose to put my suit on. I've had this suit now for over 4 years, and I've made this choice perhaps a half a dozen times. But it was a choice. But it's a trivial choice. Who cares? Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And there's lots of choices that you and I have to make every day just to live life, and they're trivial. But that's not what I want to talk about this morning. Because there are other choices that we have to make, and they're life-changing choices. They can have a tremendous effect on how life goes after we have made that choice. You see, these types of choices have consequences. This morning, I want to especially consider a choice made by Eve and a choice made by Adam that resulted in consequences. It had consequences for them personally, and we're going to look at those. It had consequences for them as a couple, so you might refer to them as interpersonal consequences. It had consequences for their family. And in fact, it has consequences for all of mankind. And we are still suffering in this world from the consequences of a choice that Eve, followed by Adam, made in the Garden of Eden. Now, some of the consequences we'll see were immediate, but there were other consequences that were eventual. And you know, sometimes we can make a choice and we think, well, I'm getting away with this because it doesn't look like there's any immediate consequence, but eventually there are consequences. You know, you might think, well, what prompted me to speak on this today? Well, I think there were three things, one especially. One is my concern for young people. It's the end of August. And before I retired, at the end of August, I would start having bad dreams. And I was the teacher. But my heart goes out to young people. I've spent 33 years working with them, teaching them, caring for them. I have a family of four, 10 granddaughters. So I've got some experience in this line. But my heart does go out to young people. And I hope that each one of us, as September approaches, that we pray for our young people going back to school. Because it's not an easy situation that they're going into. It doesn't matter now whether it's elementary school, high school, post-secondary education. We need to pray for our young people. Because as you go back to school, you are going to be faced again with choices that you have to make. And there are choices that you could make this year at school that could be life-changing choices. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. There was something else that upset me and got me thinking of, I guess I better turn this on first, but got me thinking along this line, and it's this here. This is actually a sign. If you go to Churchill Plaza, you will see this on the window of a shop. Now, I think I've got the wording exact, but it's the message. And here's what it says. Your journey with cannabis starts here. And as I stood back and read that message, and I thought, how sad. Why don't they tell them where the journey's going to end? Rather than inviting them to start the journey here, warn them about where that journey might end. And you see, your choice to start cannabis at that store, what could be a very life-changing choice, one that you will regret forever. It could be. And then there was something else that came in on Ruth's email that is interesting. It just came in yesterday. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? It kind of goes around along with my concern. And I mean, I don't usually look at her email. It just caught my eye. Or I wonder if the Lord made it catch my eye. It's another statistic. It's one that comes from the group that developed the Conquer series for men to help keep men pure in a world of impurity. And it just came out 2 days ago. And here's what it says. Now, this is sobering. It says, every year, one major porn website proudly reports its statistics from the previous year. Now, these are the statistics from 2019 that were reported in 2019. So that was 2018, and I can guarantee you that they're worse now, but this is what I've got. And here's what this porn website claims. There were 115 million visits to that website per day. Not per month, not per year, per day. 115 million. They also claim that 1.3 million hours of new content were uploaded to the site. That's a lot of hours. In fact, the thing goes on to say that that's enough content to last 169 years. In other words, if you started watching the videos in 1850, you'd still be watching them today. That's 1 year's new content on a porn site. It says 61% of the visitors to the site are between the ages of 18 and 34. That should cause us concern as well, shouldn't it? 32% of the visitors are female. Here's one that I didn't realize. But it says the most common time for people to watch porn is Sunday nights, around 11 p.m. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's the stresses of the week coming up. But it's interesting, isn't it? There was another group that did a survey, and this one here, again, is very sobering. It was done by Pure Desire Ministries. Now, I'm not sure who they are, but they discovered, apparently, that 68% of church-going men view porn on a regular basis. That's high. In other words, they went on to say over half of the men who are faithfully attending church on any given Sunday are secretly stealing away to solitude to view pornography, throughout the week. Now, if those things don't shock you, I'm not sure what will. We live in a sin-sick world. And it's not only affecting those who don't know Christ, it's having a tremendous effect on those who would claim to know Christ as Savior and would claim to serve Him. And so those are some of the reasons why, the main reasons why, I want to speak this morning on the consequences of choices. Now, I started to think a bit about Life Journey. You know I like to make animations. And, I used to sort of think of Life's Journey as just a line, right? So you have a beginning, you live your life, you end your life, that's it, that's all. But really, I think Life's Journey is a bit more like this picture that I have. It's not really a straight line, because as you go through life's journey, there's choices to be made. And when you make a choice, you're choosing the road you're going to follow. So if you just watch, there's going to be a little animation here, hopefully. So there's the first one. The person made the choice. See, it changed from blue to black. And notice that the other road that they could have taken, there was no going back. It's gone. There's a lot of choices in life that we only get to make once. And once we have made that choice, there's no turning back. And I'm going to give you an example of that one in a bit that relates to me. And then we come to the next one, and they make another choice. And this time, you notice that it turned to black, but you could go back. It's still there. And then life goes on. Made another choice. Made another choice. And then look at this one. This is the one I like the best. Because here they are, here you and I are, and we're traveling along the road of life. And it doesn't even look like we have a choice, but we do. Because we always have a choice to repent. And so I like this one. See how they went back? And that's what every one of us need to do as far as God is concerned. Every man in his natural condition needs to make that choice to repent and to return to the Lord. And so that's how I tried to illustrate repentance. But I wonder what your life's journey looks like. What roads have you traveled down? I don't want to tell you all the roads I've traveled down. You know, here's another little illustration that I thought of. This is more like a roundabout. So you have somebody coming up that sort of light gray road, and they come to the roundabout, and they have to make a choice. One road, if they choose it, it'll be a disaster. Lots of people and young people this year, you could make a choice, and it will be a disaster in your life. There's other choices that lead to death. Now, I'm thinking here especially not about just physical death, but the fact that death in the scriptures is separation. They can lead to death. Sometimes you can go on the same road. That might be good, might be bad. Just depends what road you're on. Then there's Regret Boulevard. That's the one that I mentioned before that you can't go back. Anybody else ever traveled Regret Boulevard? Made a choice, can't go back? I'm just going to tell you about one. I was a boy of 12. I hope I can get through this one. We took my mom to the hospital. I thought I knew everything. I always hated saying goodbye. So before I said goodbye, I got out of the room. I never said goodbye to my mom. I just got home and the phone rang. My mother was gone. I can guarantee you that even though I know she would forgive me and that God has forgiven me, that I regret that choice. And I've been regretting that choice that I made that day for a lot of years because she passed away when I was 12. I wish I would have said goodbye, but it's too late. Make sure you consider your choices. so many roads they can take you on. Thank goodness, so I had to put Repent Boulevard in there. That's the best, isn't it? You know, if we go off in the wrong direction, thank God that He has provided a way back. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But anyway, I have to move on. Now, here's what I'd kind of like to do, and we're not going to do all of this in detail, or we'll be here until next Sunday. But the Bible has all kinds of examples of bad choices. We're just going to sort of concentrate on Adam and Eve, but then I'm going to give you the scriptures for three others to read about that these guys made bad choices. Even King David, the man after God's own heart. So don't just think because you're old and you've been a Christian for a long time, you can't make bad choices. David did. So we're going to look especially at Adam and Eve. And then, of course, I want to mention there's lots of good choices were made too. And again, some of these examples, Abraham made a good choice. Another time he made a terrible choice. Same with Moses. Zacchaeus made a good choice, right, when he came down out of the tree and obeyed the Lord. So I want to take a little look at those. And then I want to just sort of give you a list of what came to my mind as some of life-changing choices that perhaps we're going to face this week. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but it's important. And then finally, I'm going to talk about preventative medicine. I love preventative medicine. Ken will be on preventative medicine now. I'm on four different preventative medicines, and I have three wires going into my heart to prevent happening what happened before. So I'm a firm believer in preventative medicine, but I'm also a firm believer that as a church, we need to give our congregation, we need to give the sheep preventative medicine so that we're not always dealing with crisis situations. Try and prevent them. So that's my goal, and I want to do the preventive medicine for sure, so once it gets to a certain time, I'll just click through the rest of the slides, and I'm there. So you all set? Okay, so first of all, Adam and Eve. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. It's always good. We have to read the scriptures. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 113, verse 1 and to 13, and then Musa is going to change the slides for me, and I'm going to read out of the book. So you all set? So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" You know, she added a little bit to what God really said. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And the woman, when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "Oh, the woman whom you gave me, She gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And then let's, just for sake of time, in the next few verses, God is dealing with the serpent. That's not my topic this morning. But let's go down to verse 16. And we see here in verse 16, we'll see the consequences, the personal consequences that Eve suffered as a result of her choice. Now, I might say this about Eve. Eve was deceived. The serpent deceived Eve. Adam was not deceived. He made a willing choice. But Eve was deceived. And here's the consequences. Every choice we make, life-changing choice, they have consequences. So he says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. And in pain, you shall bring forth children. Now, I believe that every mother in this room can say that certainly is true. Do you know, could it be that when God created the man and the woman, he never created them to have pain when the children were born? The pain associated with childbirth is a consequence of a choice that Eve made that day. And not only did she suffer that choice, but women from that time until now have been suffering that same consequence. And then he says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's something that God never intended. When God created Eve, he created her as a help meet. He created her as a helper to help Adam. But then because of her choice, because of her sinful choice, all of a sudden, human relationships go into disaster. All of a sudden, there's conflict between the man and the woman. And the woman, she wants to have what the man has. And the man, he wants to rule over the woman. And you get tyrants. And all of this is the consequences of a choice. And it's the consequences that were given to Eve. And then God turns to Adam. And he says to Adam, and again, as I mentioned, Adam made a conscious choice. He made a choice to disobey God. He made a choice to disobey what God told him to do. He was not deceived. And so God turns to Adam and he says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. So all creation was cursed. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You like toil? You know, when God created man, he created man to work. But I think work at that time, when God first created man, was something that was enjoyable. He had to tend the most beautiful garden in the world. And he had to care for it. And then he was given another job. Talk about this job. Name all the animals. He didn't even have to go looking for them. God just brought them along, and Adam looked up, horse. And it was called a horse. That's what the scripture tells us. Lion. Oh, okay, that's a lion. But that was the type of thing they were doing. And then all of a sudden, because of Adam's sin, then that work became toil. And the ground was cursed. And so every time you see a thistle, remember that's part of the consequences of Adam's choice. Every time you get hit with or touch a thorn and it pricks you, remember, thank you, Grandpa Adam, because it was of his choice that that happened. And every time you sweat, everybody's sweating here and you're working out in the sun, at the steel plant, in the heat, the sweat coming down. Well, every time you do, you could just say, thank you, Grandpa Adam, because all of that is a result of Adam's choice that he made. And then, of course, he said to him in the end there, for dust you are, and for dust to dust you shall return. So these here are consequences. Death and everything came in because of Adam's choice. But notice that it goes on. And again, I'm starting to run out of time, but we see here that there were also consequences for Adam and Eve as a couple. First of all, they were driven out of the garden. Imagine enjoying the Garden of Eden, and because of a choice that the two of you made, you're kicked out. But that happened to them. And they went outside the garden to toil and try and make a living, digging in the dirt, growing weeds. And there they were, bearing children in pain, all because of their choice, kicked out of the garden. And you know, it went even further than that. Do you know that before Adam or Eve experienced physical death on their own, they experienced the death of their son? Now, there's something I never want to experience, and that's the death of a child, one of my children. I pray that the Lord takes me first. I don't want that. But Adam and Eve, because of a choice they made, they not only experienced the death of the son, it was their other son that murdered him. These are the consequences of sin. Sin is a serious matter. God doesn't look lightly upon it. And choices that Adam and Eve made are choices that we still face today. The choices we make are so important because they determine the road we're going down. Now, we're going to speed through some because I want to get to the personal medicine. This was just supposed to be sort of a summary. Consequences of choices can be personal, family, for you and I as Christians, the choices we make can affect our testimony for the Lord, our usefulness for the Lord. It can actually affect the local church because you and I represent Bethel out in the world. And so choices that we make, when people look at us, they'll say, well, they go to Bethel. It's important. And then, of course, there are eternal consequences as well as choices that are made. And then we talked about Adam, and again, here we're going to speed through. You ready? Okay, so there's David. That story there is 2 Samuel 11. That deals with Bathsheba. Here's King Rehoboam choosing to forget the advice he got from the old guys and just taking the advice he got from his friends and splitting the kingdom of Israel. And here's King Agrippa, the one who was almost persuaded to be a Christian, but he said no, almost, but lost. Lots of examples in the Bible of bad choices. These are examples of good choices. Abraham made a good choice when God called him. He chose to go. Moses made a good choice. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Good choice, Moses. Ruth made a good choice. It's an interesting one, too, because the older lady was telling her not to do what she was supposed to do, what God wanted her to do. She was getting advice to the opposite, and yet she said, no, I'm not taking that advice. I'm going with you. Good choice. She actually ended up in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. And then I thought, well, from the New Testament, one of my favorite stories, little Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to make a choice. When the Lord said to him, everybody, I hope, knows the story of Zacchaeus. If you don't, read about it in Luke 19. The Lord looks up at Zacchaeus in a tree, sitting on a branch, and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Zacchaeus could have stayed up there and shook his head no, but he didn't. He made a good choice. He came down, he obeyed the Lord. Do you know that's the best choice we can make, is to obey the Lord, to obey God's word. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. Now, here's choices that this week, here are some things that, and these are things we don't talk about very often, But these are choices, personal choices that we have to make. We get to choose whether we tell the truth or not. Right? That's important. We get to choose our friends. And you know, the friends that you choose can affect the direction that you go. It's important to choose good friends. Even something like smoking, we never talk about it. But you know, smoking is a choice. I started smoking when I was 9 years old, and I quit when I was 14. So I made a bad choice, and I made a good choice. Made the bad choice because I didn't have the backbone to say no to my friends. Made the good choice because I believed the Lord was working in my heart. Drugs are a choice. Whenever you take that drug for the first time, it's a choice. It can be devastating. It can ruin you forever. You know, I was just thinking in line with that other sign that I saw in the Churchill Plaza when I was coming home yesterday from our cottage down in Echo Lake. And after you come off the bypass, between the bypass and Churchill Plaza, at least four signs. Signs advertising the cannabis shops. It's a choice. And you know, the other interesting thing is, and I'm going to tell you this, is that after I'd passed all those signs, I went about three or four houses down, driving towards work, and I went three or four houses down, and I saw this poor individual, and he's out in the front yard. And this, I'll show you what he was doing. He was going like this. He was just beating the air. I wonder if that guy was on drugs. I have a feeling, but I can't say for sure. I watched them downtown, walking past where I work. I see them. One time back in their history, that person made a choice. They chose to take drugs for the first time. Let me warn every young person in here, do not try drugs. It can ruin you, it can kill you, and it can ruin you fast. Don't do it. Even alcohol, we don't hear much about it. But alcohol can be devastating. Pornography, already mentioned that one. How about premarital relations? We don't talk much about that. But is it right for a young couple to move in together? No, not according to God's word. God has a plan. And his plan is for a man and a woman to be married and to enjoy life together and enjoy the benefits of married life. But how about for us that are older? What about faithfulness in marriage? That's a choice. And those who are going through middle age, that's when a lot of those difficulties come up. It's a choice. What I read's a choice. What I watch is a choice. Honoring the Lord is a choice. And the list could go on and on, but that's the ones that came to my mind. You know, as I leave those, when I was doing 10 and 11 and, well, some of the others as well. It reminded me of my days teaching computer science way back when we still programmed with computer cards, right? So go a long ways back. And remember, that's when I first was introduced to acronyms, right? There's so many of them now, but there was one, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. And you know what? That's true. Whether it's a computer program or whether it's you and I with our lives. If we put garbage in and think about it, it'll be garbage that comes out. Okay, preventative medicine. Now these here, I'm not a counselor, but these are just things that came to my mind. And I think as a church, we need to provide preventative medicine. I kind of, and this is just my own opinion, but over the years, I found that when I was growing up, like, there was a lot of do's and don'ts. And I remember, I'll just tell you this. Can I have an extra 3 minutes? Okay, so I'll just tell you this. When I was growing up at the little church that I attended, that I'm very, very thankful for, but TV was a taboo. It was. It was preached against. Big time. That you shouldn't, as a Christian, have TV. Well, now I think if I asked for a show of hands right now, of everybody in here that has a TV, we might not have 100%, but I think it's going to be awfully close, and mine will go up with it. Wouldn't it have been better if they'd have acknowledged that it was something and given some preventative medicine? How do you handle it? Rather than just condemning it and people are getting it anyway. I think the same about social media. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm not on social media. But you know what? If you ask people in here for a show of hands, you're going to find that the majority are on social media. So what are we better to do? We're better to give them preventative medicine. How do you handle it? And so here's my preventative medicine. We have to know God's word. We have to know what the Bible says. Because there are some choices in life, and it's very easy to know whether it's right or wrong if you know what the Bible says. There's others it's not so easy, but some very easy. And then we need to pray for wisdom in making right choices. You know, just say something like this. I haven't really written many prayers, but I thought this one came to me last night. Lord, as I face temptation, because we're going to face temptation, the Bible tells us that, and make choices, give me the strength that I need to do the right thing. We need God's help. We're going to be a disaster on our own. So I think that's good advice. Here's another one. Unless you must make a quick choice, and sometimes you have to. Right on the spot, you have to make a choice. But if you don't, take time to think it over before you answer. And pray. And seek good advice. Another thing is important, and again, I'm thinking especially of the young people, and that is decide on your course of action before you have to make the choice. Right? Because, you know, some of those things are going to come. You're going to face the choice as to whether you want drugs or don't want drugs. And highly likely, you're going to face the choice as to whether you want to look at pornography or don't look at pornography. You're going to have to make those choices. So decide how you're going to handle it so that you don't make a disaster of it, so that you don't end up on Regret Boulevard, so you don't end up on Death Street, so you don't end up in the disaster road. Think about it. Ask yourself questions before you make a decision. What could this choice lead to? That's an important one. Is this what the Bible tells me to do? Would this action have Jesus' approval? What they used to say to us was, if the Lord came back, would he be happy to find you there? How will this affect the one I love the most, or I affect those I love the most? Our choices affect our families. Our choices can ruin our families. How will this affect the local church and my ability to serve the Lord? Could this choice have lifelong consequences? Or could this choice have eternal consequences? Talk to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself if you're asking these questions about choices you have to make. For parents, I have a little bit of advice as well. Make sure your family has the tools and the knowledge needed to make good choices. Do you know that children in elementary school are having to make choices that I never even dreamed of? I heard of one little girl in grade six, that had to make the choice whether to have an abortion or not. Grade six, I believe it was. I could be wrong, but it was young. They have to make those choices. Make sure that they know. Encourage your family to seek godly advice. Get good advice, whatever you do. Make sure that your family feels comfortable asking you for advice. You know, there are some parents that have a hard time with that. They come down with the hammer every time. Don't do that. Make it so that your children, if they have questions, that they'll come to you and they'll ask you so that you can have an effect in their lives and they're not off making choices that you wouldn't want them to make because they're afraid to ask mom and dad. Involve your family in activities where they'll learn how to make important life choices. Make sure your kids are in Sunday school. Make sure they come to Awana. When they're the right age, make sure they go to junior youth group. It's good. And then when they're a little bit older, make sure they come to youth group. That's important. It's important where they make their friends. And even with young adults, make sure that your family takes every opportunity that's afforded or given to you by the church to make good choices. And then finally, as a church, you know, I sometimes think when we have a baby dedication, and I have a hard time sometimes saying things, and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not so sure. And you know, one of the things we ask the church to do is to stand. And I've done this because I've done some of them myself. And we ask the church to, if they're going to help, I forget the exact wording, but are they going to help the parents as this child is raised? And you know what? The majority of us say, I will. And I sometimes think, I hope I'm not lying. That's the way my mind goes. Because if I say I will, then I have to ask myself, what am I doing to encourage children? What am I doing to encourage families? And these are just some things that came to my mind. Make sure you're friendly. Make sure you're the kind of person that a child would want to come to. Remember, one old man heard this story. I don't know whether it's true or false, but he was preaching away about Jesus, and he said, Jesus wept. He never smiled. And a little boy in the congregation put up his hand, and he said, sir, Jesus did smile. And the old man said, son, how do you know that Jesus smiled? He says, because if Jesus looked anything like you look right now, the little children would never have come to him. Show tolerance. Sometimes we can be pretty intolerant, can't we, as we get older? We need to show tolerance to young people. Show an interest. Ask them some questions. Show them that you care. Make sure that you involve them in church activities wherever you can. Always love it when I see young people up here in the worship teams. Good thing. Lend a helping hand. Sometimes young families need a helping hand, and make sure that your life is a good example. Choices. So important. And so we're going to close in prayer. And I'd like to pray especially for those going back to school. Kind of thankful that in one way that I'm not going back. Another way, I wouldn't mind teaching another calculus lesson. Think it'd be kind of fun. Maybe a few of you could come over this afternoon. I'll just teach you a little calculus on the side. But anyway, let's close in prayer. God help each one of us to make good choices. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples in your word of those who made excellent choices, choices that honored you. And that would be our desire as well, that in all that we do, that we would honor you. Father, you know that we're weak. And you know that left in our own, we can be a disaster. But Lord, we pray that you would give us strength day by day to make choices that bring glory to your name. And Father, I want to pray now, especially for all of the young people, even though they likely won't be like being reminded of it, who will be going back to school in just a few days or weeks. Lord, we pray that you would be with each one of them. We know that life can be difficult at school, and we just pray that you would give them wisdom to make good choices, so that they follow you and that they don't choose things that could have terrible consequences. Father, we commit them each one to you. And we also want to pray for each of them that they would make that most important choice and that they would choose the Lord Jesus as their Savior and know him and serve him well. And for all of us, Lord, we need you every day. And so we just pray for your blessing. And we give thanks for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.